escuchaba.
Lo mata todo, muni muni. Lo mata todo, muni muni.
Escuchaba.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Take Me to Your Theater, a podcast where friends talk about movies. My name is Victor, and I'm here with Alex today, and today's episode is going to be a little bit different. Normally, we like to talk about movies, but seeing as we're also huge Star Wars fans, Alex and I decided to just hop on really quick and record an episode where we discuss all the new announcements and then talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi. So let's get right to it.
We're back. A couple months late, but we're here.
Dude, it's been like a year, not a couple months. We've been gone for a while.
Well, we've been just laying low. You know, life will get the best of you at times, but it's all worth it in the end. Much like old man Ben, us too, we've been laying low in the desert of Tatooine, Central Valley of Modesto, California. Yeah, just waiting to reemerge, waiting for that spark to bring us out. And what better way to reemerge into the world, into the online world, than with Star Wars Celebration news?
Yeah, I've been messaging Alex a lot about it. We've been kind of keeping up with all the announcements and stuff, and we're talking like we should record an episode. It's like, I'd love to, man, but it never happens. We keep trying to, we've been trying to record an episode for a while, but you know, like Alex said, life gets in the way, but hey, we're here now and we're talking Star Wars. So I know it's Take Me to Your Theater, but I don't think anything we're talking about today is in theaters. So it's just nerds talking about Star Wars, basically. Yeah, so it was Star Wars Celebration this weekend, which is a 4-day event, very similar to like a Comic-Con, where it's just a bunch of fans gathered in celebration of this beautiful world created by George Lucas. And it's just basically like advertisements for toys and shows, and you get to see a lot of people bring in their awesome cosplays and, you know, just have fun. But there is of course, whenever they do these, this is like their perfect time to make announcements of things that are upcoming. So do you want to just go through the list here and comment on the things that they showed off this weekend?
Yeah, just we'll hit it one by one. And yeah, it just felt like it was never ending for a while. Just like, boom, you're getting new Star Wars this, you're getting new Star Wars that.
Yeah.
And I want to learn a little bit more about what's actually being rolled out in a couple of years.
Yeah, and along with that, Kenobi also premiered, I think, on the first day of Celebration, which we're going to maybe review and talk about that near the end, because we have some thoughts we'd like to share about that. But for now, let's just get right into the Celebration announcements. One of the first things that stuck out to me was the Andor trailer. What'd you think of that?
I was like a little bit underwhelmed when I first watched it, but granted, I did watch it in an IG newsreel thing. Mm-hmm. With no headphones, no audio. So I was just kind of watching it for the visuals. When I had rewatched it with a little bit of the audio, I was a little bit more engaged. It just feels like this thing it's been in production for a while, and it's just kind of staying still. But I did read a couple cool things that this show is going to have in it that are different from the other shows.
Yeah, what'd you find out about it?
Just that this was going to be the first one where they weren't going to use that whole VFX like background thing.
The volume
for the volume for The Mandalorian and basically any Star Wars show that they've done now. They've used that room that are just completely filled with LED screens. They're able to like map locations and all this stuff. It looks really cool, but Andor will be the first one that won't do it.
And that might be because it's been in production. I want to say they announced this like a year or two after Rogue One came out, and I feel like I saw like a little demo reel like a set photo of Andor like years ago, like before Mando even came out. So I'm not sure on the timeline of that, but I want to say that they were working on this like before all that, right?
I think so. I think you're right. I think this is when Kenobi was like in the air about like, are they going to make it a movie? Is it going to be a TV show?
Yeah.
And I think after the bomb of Solo, they just decided to scrap it, and then it all rolled out in Disney Plus. And Disney Plus was about that time too.
Yeah.
2018, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I feel like this one's been a long time coming. I almost like thought that it just wasn't going to happen because it was one of those things where they announced this with a list of a whole bunch of other things that may or may not have. It's just like, you know, when they show the wall of like upcoming movies and like half of them probably won't happen. This was one that was like, it just seems like a strange one to go with. I really like the character of Andor, but it just seemed odd to go with that character, you know?
Yeah, especially because you know what eventually happens to that character. So
yeah,
I don't know if it really makes sense to you for you to get fully invested in it and then see what happens to the rest of like his life and his story. And it might make it hit a little harder when you go rewatch Rogue One. But I don't know. I'm just excited to see an older Star Wars show. I think that's like the furthest back that we've gotten so far.
Yeah, it might be. I rewatched Rogue One last night, actually. I feel like after that movie came out, I've tried to rewatch it like 3 or 4 times. And it's not that I don't like it. I just like lose interest really fast whenever I've tried to put it back on. Like I start looking at my phone and I feel like I never make it past the when Jedha blows up. But I finally like sat through and watched the whole thing. And I remembered that like the last act is really good. That's like, in my opinion, the best part about that movie when they're on Scarif. I'm a little mixed on like the Vader like video game cutscene that happens at the very end, but all the stuff with the characters, like, you know, boots on the ground on Scarif, like trying to fulfill their mission, like that was really exciting and really well done. And it did make me want to see. I just wish like I could see something with all these characters again. Like it's with Andor, like none of those other characters are going to be in it. Maybe the K2SO is going to be in it, right? But like Jin isn't going to be there, or like Chirrut Imwe, none of those characters. So I kind of liked their little dynamic when they were on Scarif. So it was like I wanted more of that dynamic. So I'm hoping that Andor delivers with it just being about him.
Yeah, I have no idea what this is about, what it's going to show. I have a really strong feeling that they're going to show him as a young kid and kind of progress into an adult, like with some flashbacks, just like they do with Mando. But I'm excited for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like the look of it. Maybe that was just all Gareth Edwards doing, but hopefully they're able to convey the same feel and look with this show. And from the trailer, I think that's successful already. So
it seems pretty exciting. I'm down for it.
I'm just stoked for Diego Luna to come back to Star Wars.
And, yeah.
Hopefully he gets to touch Jabba.
I know. Like, are they gonna make that happen? Just because like that was like a meme. He's like, I want to touch Jabba.
I'm sure they will.
So that was on Thursday when they announced that, and then when I was watching the Celebration live stream, there's a lot of interviews with people that like write the books of the High Republic. And I'll be honest, like when it comes to Star Wars, like I'm mainly just a movie fan. Like I love the movies, like the behind the scenes, like all the lore, but I've never delved too deep into the comics or the books or anything. Have you ever gotten into any of that?
No, I'm the same. I've like the most that I've ever come across them is like seeing them the EU stuff in the library, or passing a comic wall or something, especially over there in the launch bay area in Disney.
Yeah,
you know, they got all those walls. That's basically it. I'm the same way. I'm not even really too much into the animated stuff either. So I'm a strictly cinematic universe person.
I think we both come at it from that same perspective. I've seen bits and pieces of a lot of the animated stuff, but I definitely haven't seen like everything. But yeah, it seems like there's a lot of love out there for the world of, you know, the books and the novelizations they have. It seems like people in the crowd were like super excited about all the announcements they were making about characters I've never heard of. So that's cool. I just like I've never gone that deep into it, and I don't even know where to begin. So, you know, cool for everyone that's into it, but yeah, seems like there's a lot of cool announcements on that end. So that was cool. Then the next day on Friday, they had a whole panel celebrating the 20th anniversary of Attack of the Clones. That's crazy that it's been 20 years. And the fact that we had a new one coming out during our childhood was just exciting. Like seeing the posters, seeing the marketing. I remember there was like these Doritos. They were called like 3D Doritos or something. They were just like puffy Doritos.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Miss those every day.
Yeah. And they came with like a holographic like card or something of a character from.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Those were good, good days, man.
I remember like the Phantom Menace promo stuff. That was like the best. Yeah. Taco Bell, the Toys R Us, everything. I had tons of stuff. The Clones, Attack of the Clones, I had a cool amount of like just those figures. Mm-hmm. And I remember having Grievous's bike.
Oh, yeah.
That circular one.
That was a cool toy. Yeah, but yeah. For me, it was just like Attack of the Clones. That's when I bought all the toys, and then after that I completely dropped off and never bought like any other toys after that. But man, good, those are good times. I don't remember disliking the movie when I saw it in theaters, but I remember like not wanting to see it hella bad afterward, and that was weird for me as a kid, you know.
Yeah, I probably rewatched that movie 25 times as soon as I got the Costco DVD.
Yeah. I think I just really liked the Django stuff and the Geonosis stuff. All that was awesome.
Geonosis was like the highlight of that. It was basically Infinity War for us.
Yeah. And then I remember thinking like, oh, there's gonna be a lot of clone like battles in this one. Like it's Attack of the Clones, you know? It's going to be crazy. There's going to be like a big war, and like they were just in it for like 10 minutes. But yeah, crazy that it's been 20 years, man. Time flies. But yeah, they had like the whole panel with like a lot of people from the cast, and that was pretty fun. I remember really enjoying the 20th anniversary of Phantom Menace when they did that in 2019. That was really cool. Then they also showed off the trailer for Jedi Survivor, which is the sequel to Jedi Fallen Order. And you haven't played the first one, have you?
No, I know about it. It looked okay. It's kind of glitchy. I've seen people play it before. It's a cool story, I guess. The trailer is really cool for the first one. And that droid is pretty cool. It had the brief cameo in this last season of
Boba. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I played the first game, and I thought the gameplay was okay. The story and characters I really liked, though, because there was a lot of flashbacks to Order 66 and some tie-ins with some characters that we've seen before. And that is where I first saw the Inquisitors. So with Obi-Wan, there is the Inquisitors that are hunting Jedi. So you see a lot of that in Jedi Fallen Order. So there's people out there that like aren't really gamers. I would suggest maybe checking out some like cutscenes. I'm sure there's like a compilation on YouTube that you could watch, because all the character stuff is really cool in that game. I just thought the gameplay was like kind of half baked. It was all right. It got a little tedious in certain areas. It's basically a Dark Souls like gameplay. But there is cool stuff with like lightsaber customization, and you could like customize your BD droid and your ship. So that was cool. So I'll probably get the second game when it comes out for sure.
I'm sure it'll look like 10 times better.
Yeah. I don't have a next gen console though, so I'm not sure if it'll only be on those, which I think it might be. So I might have to upgrade. I think this is also the day where they announced that they're getting rid of the timeline sort of from Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland and Disney World. What are your thoughts on that, Alex?
We've talked about this a little bit before. I see the good and I see the bad. I think people now with all these really cool shows coming out, and they're always referencing a time before the sequels, I think that's really smart. It's just going to make the fans a lot happier to go to Galaxy's Edge. Doesn't matter how old you are, you'll be able to interact with these characters and know who they are. But also, it's kind of built now, pushing forward to the sequels. So you had like that whole First Order corner, and then you have a Resistance thing, and they got a ride named the Resistance thing. So the only thing that's really keeping it all together was the Millennium Falcon, like you were saying before to me. And that really makes sense, because that middle section should only be like the original trilogy, and then the walls kind of enclose that with the new stuff on the outsides. Maybe that was the idea of it.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of Galaxy's Edge. I really like the immersion and storytelling that they were going for with keeping everything in one story and one timeline. So all the characters you talk to are more or less aware of like the story that you are being invited into. And I thought that was brilliant. I really liked the land. I know there's a lot of complaints that like we want to see Darth Vader walking around, you know, we want to see like Yoda, we want to see like all these characters, and I do agree that it would be really cool to see them. And I also, the one of the complaints I had is there was not enough characters walking around Galaxy's Edge. You know, there's like Rey, Chewie, and then some stormtroopers and Kylo Ren, but I wanted there to be more of like an atmosphere of like just more stuff going on, which I think they had plans to. And I thought it was going to come eventually, you know. They're just, because they announced all this crazy stuff when they first announced Galaxy's Edge, with like bounty hunters that were gonna be like hunting you down, and like they showed off some characters that have never like set foot in Galaxy's Edge yet, you know. So I was really into the idea of Galaxy's Edge, but at the same time, like, it's not gonna bother me if they, you know, introduce some legacy characters like here and there. And from what I read, they are not going to acknowledge like the existence of each other. Like, if you see Rey and you go like, hey, like, have you seen a like Boba Fett walking around? I think they're like trained to like, oh, I think that's a bounty hunter I've heard of before, like from long ago, you know. So like, they're not going to interact with each other, which I think that's like that, like a happy medium, right? Of like keeping the timeline idea that they had. And like, whenever a character like that comes out, it'll probably, it's just like a photo op opportunity. They're not going to be part of the story, you know? So I think it makes sense for them to do it that way.
I don't know. It just feels lazy to me. I really kind of dislike it. I get it. But, you know, they did that in the launch bay for like limited times. You'd walk behind like a wall and it'd be Boba Fett there. And then you can also go see Rey or Kylo Ren, whatever. But they were all in their, you know, respective areas. That's kind of the same thing though. They do that with in the park. Like, you can't have fantasy characters walk over to Frontierland or Frontierland to whatever. So it's just the whole Disney thing that they do anyways. But I don't really know. I don't really care, I guess. But I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, Galaxy's Edge, like, they had a lot of potential. There's supposed to be tons of droids rolling around. I think that now there's only like one or two. But also, I would love to see a little bit more of like characters in costumes just walking into the cantina, walking in and out, just, you know, giving it that lived in like Mos Eisley kind of feel, not every booth filled with like kids screaming or balloons and stuff. Yeah, you know, yeah. I want to see a little bit more Star Wars immersion.
I agree. Yeah, that is definitely something that I wanted to see more. Like, I just want to see like a Rodian or something, or like someone with a mask, like carrying like a big bag. Yeah. Like, it's like, where are they going? Yeah, like, what are they doing?
Exactly. Like, yeah, exactly. Just from walking one side of the exit to the other side of the exit, or passing through like from the front door to the back door inside the cantina.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. So that's exciting for people that want pictures with like Boba Fett and stuff. I don't usually take photos with characters, but I do enjoy seeing them walking around. They announced Boba Fett and Fennec will be the first ones, which are currently walking around the parks. Like, they're the first ones that they're introducing. And then they said down the line, Din Djarin and Grogu will be there. So it sounds like they're going to do what they do at Adventures Campus, is and use characters to promote whatever series is currently happening, right?
Yeah. I'm down for some Din Djarin and Grogu. Yeah. It's just that seems cooler.
I think that's what everyone wants. So I think that's why maybe they start off with Boba first.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, Din Djarin is our new Boba Fett.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's cool. I'll be going back to the parks in July, so hoping just to see more characters and stuff, you know. They also talked about Mando Season 3. Did you catch any of that?
Yeah, I heard a little bit of about it. It's going to be more centered on Mando's journey, I believe, and returning to Mandalore. I guess there was like a sizzle reel, right?
Yeah, I don't think it was...
For fans only during the event. Yeah. So that's all I had heard, that he's going to try to return to Mandalore and for whatever reason, Grogu's with him.
Yeah. That is something that I would like to talk to you about later. Maybe we could give a brief thoughts on what we thought about Boba Fett, because I have some things I want to say about that, and some of it is about Grogu.
I'm down.
Yeah, so they talked about that, and then I think they also showed some stuff about Ahsoka, which isn't available online for the general public just yet. Don't know much about that show, but I am excited to see it. I think they announced that some of the characters from Rebels will be in it, so that's pretty cool. I have seen a season one of Rebels, and I actually really liked it. I should probably continue watching that. I enjoyed it a bit more than Clone Wars. If you want to give an animated show a shot, I would check that one out. It was pretty cool.
I feel like I've been meaning to for a long time, and every time I dive into it, I just get distracted and just not into it. I've seen the same episodes like 10 times because I always rewatch it from the beginning, and I don't know. I think with Kenobi and stuff, it's kind of made me want to learn more about these characters. So.
Yeah, that's what happens, right? With, like, Mando. It's like, I kind of want to watch Clone Wars to understand, like, where these characters came from. So I feel like that's what they're always trying to do. They're trying to bridge the gap, you know? They have this ever-expanding universe with hundreds of characters, and they're always trying to find ways to link them all up. And I think that's part of the magic of Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
They also talked about, I think, I actually have not looked into this at all, Tales of the Jedi, which is a CG animated series of shorts. Do you know anything about that?
I just recently read that somewhere. It's kind of like Visions, right?
Yeah, I think it's about a younger Ahsoka.
So, oh, okay. No, I haven't heard about
that. So to me, that sounds like it might be more like for the younger audience. They also showed off the trailer for The Bad Batch Season 2, which I could already assume that you haven't seen Season 1, neither have I.
Nope.
Looks cool. All the characters look cool. Their helmets and everything. Like, it's a visually, like, really cool looking show. I just haven't seen it because I haven't finished Clone Wars, so I might have to get around to that. Most of, like, the major announcements. They announced that there was going to be a season two of Star Wars Visions. What did you think of season one, and what do you think of season two coming?
I liked season one for the most part, and then I just kind of didn't care about it afterwards. It's like if you see it one time or you see a couple episodes, you're okay, and then you don't really need the whole bunch of episodes.
Yeah. I watched every episode once and kind of never looked back, just like you said. There was a few really cool stories. I think the one of them I really liked, and I looked it up online and everyone hated it, was the Tatooine Rhapsody. I thought that was just
I actually liked
yeah,
that.
I thought it was really fun. I liked the character.
I think the character style.
Yeah, the character design was great on that one, and it was just like kind of silly and. Lope and Ocho, that was a cool one. So that was pretty much all the major announcements from Star Wars Celebration. Then you sent me a picture of like a cereal box.
That's the one thing I wanted to talk about mostly.
Let's talk about the cereal.
So I'm like a sucker for any kind of Star Wars promotional material. So this one is going to be released in July. It is the Kellogg's Frosted Flakes Obi-Wan Kenobi cereal. So what's, but what's different about this cereal is that they will have like a dark side and a light side. So your chances are they will, or there's both of them mixed, I guess, because there's like some meaning with balance, but inside that box has chocolate and regular Frosted Flakes. Mm. But there are also limited editions, I think, through Walmart that have all regular and all chocolate. And I think it's up to like a mystery or something like that.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Like a mystery box. You open it and you get what you get or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds fun. Might have to grab a box of those.
Yeah.
Almost 30 years old and I still love cereal, you know? So.
Yeah. Hey, same here. Yeah. Walmart stores exclusively will sell the mystery boxes of the Frosted Flakes.
You might have to make a trip to Walmart. Frosted.
Chocolate, yeah, chocolate or regular. So, I don't know about the chocolate. I've never had chocolate Frosted Flakes
before. I have. They're delicious. It's been a while since I've had some, but yeah, they also showed off a bunch of toys, a bunch of Lego sets. They showed off a toy of the new droid from Kenobi. Forgot the name of it. Do you remember the name of that
Lola?
Droid? Yeah. A lot of apparel companies were out there showing what they had. There was some cool stuff. Probably not going to buy any of it, but it looks cool.
They're going to do reissue retro Kenner toys, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at that right now. Yeah. The Star Wars Retro Collection. Yep.
I think pins also. I think there's a pin set where like each of the legs are separate, the body separate. It's almost like the hands.
Oh, okay.
But it's the same Kenner design, but it's a pin.
I haven't seen that, but that sounds interesting. Cool.
Yeah, I saw like a spread of them where it's like the outside of the cantina. And
yeah.
There's like different characters, Greedo, Chewbacca, whatever.
All right, so that was all the stuff they showed off, basically. You know, we're excited for all the stuff that's coming. And I didn't see it in the live stream, but it was like on Twitter that Kathleen Kennedy confirmed that the next Star Wars theatrical film will be Taika Waititi's movie. But I was expecting there to be some reference or a teaser or something for that, but there wasn't any mention of it as far as I'm aware. Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, I heard that the release date is late 2023.
Okay.
Like December 31st, 2023. But I don't know how that can be if there's no casting news, no trailers, not even Taika himself coming out and talking anything about it. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I'm very curious about that one. I think the one thing I heard is that it takes place after the sequel trilogy or around that time period. Which to me, when yeah, I hear
all
that,
I know is a,
what?
All I know is that it's got like a weird title, right? It's like made of rocks. It's the Star Wars logo.
Yeah.
But it's like made of rock and looks kind of 80s or
color scheme. Yeah, that's pretty much the only image we have of it so far. I'm excited. You know, I liked Taika Waititi's episode of Mandalorian. I imagine it's going to be very comedic. So we'll see. You know, I'm just so curious about that. I wonder. And another thing that comes to mind is if it takes place during the sequel trilogy, what that tells me is more characters that could be added to Galaxy's Edge because they would be around during that time, right? So, but yeah, let's get into some of the shows that have come out and talk about Kenobi. Before we talk about Kenobi, do you want to talk about, like, we could do it quickly, what we thought about the Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah, so the Book of Boba Fett started off strong. We got a really cool we got like explanation of why he's around. It looked really cool. The sequence of him escaping a Sarlacc pit is probably one of the greatest moments in Star Wars, in my personal opinion. It goes off to just kind of get slower and slower and slower down the line. It started super strong, and then at the end, it was just pure craziness.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of mid, to be honest. I don't know. I thought this show was just kind of, I wasn't super into it. There is some stuff that I really liked. I loved the Hutt twins. I liked Black Chrysanthemum, really cool character. I really liked the scene where they, the train scene in like the second episode, I think. That was really cool. It just felt like it wasn't going anywhere for me, and I didn't like the mods. The whole mod thing was just odd to me.
It's just an excuse to be like, hey, remember Fennec? We killed her, but we didn't kill her because she got modded like Anakin does.
I don't love that, like, that they are pretty much invincible now. They could just bring a body into Thundercat's garage and have him modded out. I don't know. Like, I didn't hate it. I saw some people being, like, extremely harsh online about some of the stuff, and I was just like, I didn't think it was, like, the worst thing ever, but I wasn't loving it, you know? The best part of the Book of Boba Fett was when it was Mandalorian Season 2.5. Basically, out of nowhere, I think the fifth episode was just an episode of the Mando, and it was amazing. It was great, and I think it was directed by Bryce Dallas Howard. And she's returning for Season 3, which is awesome, but yeah. It was cool. I liked the idea of there being a Boba Fett show. I wish it was more focused on some of the characters, and we could build off of those more, like Black Chrysanthemum and Cad Bane. Yeah, like I wanted to see more of those characters get built up. Maybe a little bit more of Danny Trejo, more of the, you know, like just more of that stuff. And that I really liked the Mando stuff, but I just wish they could have saved that for Season 3. It's just so painfully obvious that they were like, people love Grogu, we gotta get him back. So let's just do a couple episodes of Book of Boba Fett and have a Grogu cameo and like have him come back.
Yeah, it felt really cheap, yeah. But I liked it.
I liked it too, but it just, I felt a little conflicted on it. Like, I really liked the
idea. It's disrespectful.
It is, I know. What I pictured was like, in Season 3 of Mando, like, we would have heard about him, and Mando would have gone to visit him, you know, like, for an episode or two. I didn't think that they would just shoehorn in these episodes into a series about a different character and then have Grogu just be back so it could be in Season 3. I don't know. I felt weird about it because it just seemed obvious what they were doing. It's just because they know that people love Grogu. You know, because I'm pretty sure like Season 2 of Mando was like written before like Season 1 even came out. So in their minds, they're probably like, it's time to, you know, retire this character and like move on. But I think they're like, people love this guy, you know, like our people love him. We got to bring him back somehow.
Yeah, I think they just could have kept checking in on him.
Yeah.
And it would have just done it justice. And I don't know, but maybe there's like a bigger scope of things why he, you know, ultimately Luke doesn't train him, and that is kind of what furthers him in the prequels, because he makes the decision not to train Grogu, or maybe he regrets it and then he trains his nephew instead.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, you know, what I thought, for him to train him.
Something I thought was really cool though about that episode was it bridged the gap between the prequels, the original trilogy, and the sequel trilogy, because it was Luke building up the Jedi Academy for the sequel trilogy, and it had Ahsoka there from, you know, the prequel times, and it had Luke from the original trilogy. So I just thought it was really cool that they were bridging the gap between everything. I thought that was really cool. I like that detail. That stuff like that I really appreciate about Star Wars, like when it makes sense, because Luke would be around this time like building up the Jedi Academy. So I thought that was really neat. As far as like the episodes after that, I forgot the order of them, but there was basically two episodes that were all about Mando, and then the last episode was the season finale of Boba Fett, which was kind of, I don't know, it was okay.
Yeah.
The Rancor was really awesome. I love the Rancor. But the battle scenes, I just thought weren't directed the best.
They were lame.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it,
lame. It was like slow.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, maybe they were directed by the guy who made Spy Kids. That's what it felt like. Yeah, yeah. the best thing I think too, well, like the my other high point in the season, I think this is gonna probably gonna be my last thing I'll say about it.
Yeah, then we can
move on. Is the Naboo, was it Starfighter?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was probably the best thing, the best sequence, especially with a character that I deeply hate, and everybody knows that I deeply hate this character. It's Pelimoto. I hate her. I don't know why she's still in this. You know, like, actually, I've kind of, there's times where I'm like, oh, you know what? She made a funny joke about Jawas or whatever, and I was like, oh, cool. And then she just ruins it like 10 minutes later. So I'm done.
Yeah. She doesn't bother me as much as like the mods, but you know, just they need a little
she's
bit
right
of humor
up there.
For me. I love that she has pit droids and she has a BD-1 droid. That was cool.
Yeah, that's why it's like she has like all these cool things in her little. I like the garage. I like the character.
Yeah.
I like everything. I just don't like her in her like sitcom acting. It just doesn't work for me.
There is a lot of weird acting choices, but I don't want to keep talking about Boba Fett because I want to talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi, baby.
I'll tell you like my highs and my lows.
Okay.
So one of my high points was just revisiting the character. It feels so different from any other show that we've gotten so far. It feels like you know this character, you love this character, there's some history, and it feels like you're kind of getting a side thing of a movie. You know, like a side episode of a movie, and it's not so much of like its own little show. It feels completely different for me. I like it a lot. I feel for the character and the situations. My low about it would probably just be, I don't know, I don't really, maybe just some of the visuals on the first episode. It was a little rough sometimes. Other than that, it's a solid episode.
Yeah. So I feel like my hype was not really, I knew I was going to watch this show when it came out, but I think the Book of Boba Fett sort of soured my taste about like all these live action shows. And I was starting to think now we're getting like Mando was great, but I think now we're getting to the point where they have all these different shows in production. And I feel like we might start to see some of the weaknesses come through a little bit more now that there is less focus being on just one show. I was looking forward to seeing it, but I didn't have really high hopes for it. Another reason why is because they were teasing Vader a lot. We all know Vader's in it. He's in the trailers. But I was always under the impression that Obi-Wan had never seen, will never come into contact with Vader until A New Hope. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't there like a quote that Vader says, like, last time I was the learner, but now I am the master? Which that would be the last time that they've seen each other because, you know, of their battle on Mustafar. So I was just like, they're just doing this because people love Darth Vader and they want to just see them have like a badass lightsaber battle. And I was just like, it didn't make sense, like canon wise. I'm willing to look over that and just get over it because when I saw the first episode, I really enjoyed it like quite a bit. I thought the opening with the Jedi Academy was really dark, especially during this time, like of having a show open up with kids getting slaughtered. Like it hit me a little bit. And then minor spoilers for Stranger Things, but Stranger Things season 4 also opens up with a bunch of kids getting slaughtered. So just like horrible timing, right? Anyway, yeah. I really enjoyed the first episode. Now I'm in. The hype is here for me now. It just clicked for me when I saw Ewan McGregor, like, outside of a trailer, like, from the trailers for the series, like, actually just living on Tatooine. I like seeing him, like, butcher up that meat. I don't know.
Yeah. Everything he's doing in this thing, he's just, like, a real person.
Yeah.
And that's so interesting just to watch his boring, like, he's doing, like, the thing everybody does, goes to work, commutes, comes home. You know, attends to his other responsibilities. But it's so interesting in a Star Wars universe. He's like a sashimi chef.
Yeah.
Like a Mexican meat market guy cutting up some meat.
And Is he sneaking away that like piece of meat for himself, or is he able to take that?
So
I didn't so quite.
That's what I was thinking. I feel like he's just like, you know, skimming a little bit off the top every time he's cutting a little piece. But I was like, what is he doing with this thing? And I guess he's feeding it to his little thing.
But is he like doing that like in secret, or is he like, or does every worker just get like a little slice to take home?
I think he's doing it in secret, because he's kind of like, when everybody's leaving, he's just slicing a little piece off, folding it up, putting it in his pocket.
Okay.
You know, he's not taking his time to cut it. He's just cutting it off. I think later in the season, it's going to be like, they're going to catch him doing it, and he's going to like tell him off, and he's like, I don't need this. I'm Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Can't tell me what to do.
Another thing I really liked about episode one is there's two things you and I both love. It's the Safdie brothers and Star Wars, so... It was really cool to see Benny Safdie in there. And I thought...
Go ahead.
No, I just thought, like, I didn't recognize him at first because he looked really young, didn't he?
Yeah, he did look young, but I don't know when this was filmed or whatnot. Yeah. But I think, I don't know, he just always is looking youthful, I think. We just don't really get to see him that much in front of the camera as we have this year. This year was the year of the Safdie.
Yeah.
Because... but I immediately recognized him. That's the only thing that I had. I was like, I wish I didn't know who this person was, because it would have been really cool to be like looking in a room of all these faces to be like, oh, who's the Jedi?
Yeah. I didn't recognize him at first when I first showed his face. It wasn't until, you know, he got up. But that was really cool to see. I never would have thought I would have seen one of the directors of Uncut Gems in Star Wars. That just seems like a really bizarre mix. I wonder if like him and Deborah Chow are cool or something. Maybe they're friends.
Yeah, no idea, but it worked. It worked really well. He looked great for the part. I don't know. I really had high hopes for the character too. Like, it was just a really cool situation to have a Jedi in like undercover in a town, just trying to like get by or fighting other people that are like him. It's a really cool premise. That's what I thought the entire arc of the story would be. But then episode two, we find out that's not
what unfortunately, it is. I also wanted, I was expecting him to be a little bit more, to have a little bit more of a presence in this series, but unfortunately not. He was just there, like, to serve as an example of what could happen to Jedi. Yeah, I thought the first episode was great. I liked the Alderaan. I liked seeing Alderaan because I'm not sure if they showed Alderaan off in, like, Clone Wars or, you know, Rebels, but it was cool to see it in live action because I don't think they've ever showed it off, have they?
I think maybe one time in, is it Attack of the Clones or something?
Are they on Alderaan or was that Naboo?
I mean, the Revenge of the Sith when they bring Leia to the Organas.
Yeah, maybe.
They
maybe
show for a second. I think that's what I'm thinking about.
Maybe, but it was cool because I don't think they showed off in the trailers at all that Leia was going to be in it. So it was cool because it was unexpected and they didn't like spoil it before it came out. I thought that was really cool. A lot of people were like memeing on the chase, which I didn't really notice it when I was watching it because I was just like enjoying it, but... looking at the memes, like, people are making jokes out of, she's, like, running, like, barely, and, like, the people that are chasing her are just, like, slowly running to try to catch her.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very goofy when you rewatch it, but in the heat of it, like, it was what it was.
It was just like, whoa, that's Flea. That's weird. And then, like, they're chasing her.
Yeah.
So, like, such a bizarre list of like cameos so far, right?
Yeah, very. And they're just shooting them all out. They're like, okay, this guy got cast.
Yeah.
Show him, kill him. Show him, kill him.
Yeah. but yeah, I just thought it was cool. It was a great first episode in my opinion. And then episode two was that when you got the mission, or did he get the mission in the first one from Bail Organa?
That's the first one. Remember, he walks back, and I think his... what is it, a buried astromech droid?
That like pops its like antenna out.
Yeah.
I think so. It looks like it.
Right?
Yeah.
So he checks his ring, and it shows that there's somebody has passed in the last whatever many seconds. So, and then he's just, I think, hanging out in there, and I think that's what it ends on.
Yeah. Okay.
For the first episode, and then it jumps into the second one.
Yeah, then episode two, we finally get off of Tatooine. Like, thank the maker. Like, I'm over Tatooine, man. That was another thing about Kenobi. I was like, another Tatooine show? Like, why did Boba Fett have to take place on Tatooine, you know? Like, they could have done something different with that. But episode two brought us to, I don't remember exactly where they were, but it was like a... it looked like a Coruscant sort of vibe.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was called. Do you?
I don't know. I would have to go.
Dayu.
Okay, I'd have to like go back and look. Yeah, but so now we have the Inquisitors that are after. One of them seems very fixated on finding Kenobi, which I'm pretty sure that the intro for episode one gave us a little hint that the Inquisitor, the second sister, I believe, or Reva, was one of those kids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so. I really hope so. I've seen that a lot online, and it would make so much sense, and it would be really cool to see.
Yeah. But yeah, this episode was kind of cool, you know? We got Kumail Nanjiani there as a fake Jedi.
I really like that character. That's what that's what I'm hoping that maybe Taika's stuff will be like.
Yeah.
Kind of loose.
Another thing I saw people like not liking was his character, and someone brought up a really good point. It's like, why would you pretend to be a Jedi at a time where like people are seeking out Jedi to kill? Which that does make sense, but
yeah. Well, I guess like if that's the thing that you want most, and you are kind of in hiding for it, it seems like the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's willing to risk his life to say, oh, I'm a Jedi, I can help you, there aren't many of me left, and I can do things for you.
Yeah, I like the idea of a fake Jedi. That was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, this episode was just left me wanting more at the very end, because Obi-Wan ended up escaping with Leia, right? And we got a couple of cameos in here. I think the girl that offers Obi-Wan Kenobi some spice was his biological daughter, his real life daughter.
Yeah, it just made so much more sense when she was like, I was somebody's daughter once too.
Like, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
We got Temuera Morrison once again as a veteran clone trooper, big old beard and long hair.
I saw online that there's a Mark Hamill cameo in the background.
Okay.
I didn't see it myself, but
I haven't seen that either, and I haven't seen him like confirm that. Yeah. But I've seen people like tweet, was that Mark Hamill? But I don't think it was, right?
I don't know. Maybe he would have said something, but
yeah.
I don't know.
And then at the very end we got our first look at Vader, so there's that. What are your thoughts on the Vader and Obi-Wan reunion?
I feel like it's cheap, but I want it. I don't think it's necessary. But it's going to be really cool to see. I think it's just whatever we were left seeing with Vader in Rogue One, that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants to see him just go nuts and like kill all these Jedi, whatever is standing in his way. He just wants to go. They want to see Vader totally redeem himself, especially from A New Hope with that lame lightsaber battle.
Yeah. You pretty much just described the entirety of Star Wars, Alex. Like, it's not necessary, but I want it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll... Well,
it's just crazy to... It's crazy to think about that one guy created, like, one story that may or may not have worked. You know, he screened it for all his friends.
They roasted him.
And they were like... Yeah, they were, like, terrified. They were like, this is terrible. His wife cries.
Yeah.
It's like, don't make this movie. He makes it, and we're talking about it however many years later, and like picking at little characters that he just, you know, planted a seed, and these are all the different vines growing from it.
And I think George Lucas and Disney did not have the greatest relationship when Force Awakens and like Last Jedi were coming out, but I believe that he's been more involved with at least The Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett, and I believe he gave his blessing for the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, so it's cool to see that he's back. in, you know, like, approving, as far as we know. Like, he could just be like, I mean, I might as well just play it cool yeah. with these idiots. It's cool to know that, like, his presence is still around. It is wild, man, like, when you think about it, like, how expansive this universe has gotten.
Yeah, that's why it's always important, you know, kind of pull yourself back and, like, think about it as a whole and what it actually became. And I think that's what makes it more worth it.
Yeah. So I'm excited for more. By the time this episode comes out, I'm sure episode 3 will already be out. So I'm hoping that this show stays consistent. I've seen some people, you know, like, kind of pick this show apart online. Not as much as they did for Book of Boba Fett. But I have to say, I'm enjoying it. I'm in. I'm looking past some of the faults because I'm just enjoying the character, enjoying the world, and that's kind of what you have to do with Star Wars. Sometimes you have to, like, get out of your movie snob self and just, like, enjoy the.
Yeah, you gotta turn off your letterbox persona.
Yeah,
tone it down, and just enjoy it for what it is.
Yep. So, yeah, that's that, man. Anything else you wanted to talk about?
That's pretty much it. That's all the Star Wars news that was floating around that made me want to, just not miss any further release. I'm super excited for everything that we're going to get, whether it happens or not. That's the thing with Star Wars and Lucasfilm. They'll be throwing it up in the air. They'll put a date on it. May not happen, but looking good so far.
Yeah, they are not like Marvel. Whenever Marvel throws up a infographic of all their upcoming movies, all those movies have been made or have already come out, or the series they've announced. With Star Wars, it's like you always have to take it with a grain of salt. They seem very iffy on the things that they want to, like, green light. And I feel like every other show that they've announced and movie is, like, not being made at all.
Yeah.
Like, they announced, like, 2 or 3 different trilogies, and, like, there's no news on those. They announced, like, all these other shows, and they didn't mention those at all.
Yeah, the Rangers of the Republic or whatever. Yeah. That one got scrapped.
Some other ones got scrapped. There was the Rogue Squadron movie, right? I'm not sure if that's being made still.
That one, too. Something like that. And then they gave... what's his name? Knives Out. They gave him, like, 3 movies, and then they took him away.
Yeah. I wonder if... I doubt that that'll be made, but...
I think they're really banking on Taika and the relationship with, like, the MCU people.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're just letting Dave... I think Dave is going to be the new, like, head of it, and then Jon Favreau just kind of gets all his friends in, and they'll lead it to success.
Yeah. Well... I guess we'll see what happens. I feel like the Star Wars fatigue was starting to creep in a little bit for me, but I'm hoping it stays fresh and that all these people that are behind the scenes know what they're doing.
Yep. We will see. I'm excited. I kind of just realized, too, that Kenobi's only like 6 episodes, so.
Yeah. And I don't think that this could be a 2-season thing, right? I guess it could, but
I don't know, possibly. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see in the next coming weeks. We're already 2 out of 6, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know this, once again, I know this is Take Me to Your Theater, a podcast where we're meant to talk about new movies and new releases, but.
Hey, but we also visit the home theaters, so.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know. We've been busy, you know. Hopefully we could get back to a regular episode with some of the other guys again soon and talk about some of the things we've watched. There's some good stuff coming up pretty soon, so maybe we could talk about all that. All right.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll be able to. This year's got a bunch of stuff coming out still. I know we're like basically halfway through it, but we got tons of stuff towards the end of the year. Love and Thunder, all that stuff. Nope. There's just a ton of it, and hopefully we'll be able to get together again soon and just really recap on, like, what's coming out and what we're waiting for.
Yeah. We got Marcel the Shell with shoes on. I know that's your most anticipated. A24 yeah. is.
No, my most anticipated was Everything Everywhere, and I still haven't seen it. So looking forward to that.
I am curious to see what you think about it, because I watched it like right when it came out. But I feel like if I hadn't seen it already, I feel like it would detract from my thoughts on it a little bit, because like every other tweet about it is like the greatest movie ever made. Like, and I love the movie. Like, I gave it 5 stars, but I could see that hype might like not live up to your expectations. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll see. I heard the same thing about Uncut Gems, and I was like, one of my favorite movies of that year, if not my favorite movie in the A24 collection. But that's a discussion for another episode.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yep. Check out Everything Everywhere All at Once that comes out for sure. And yeah, stay connected with us on Letterboxd. I've been trying to use it a lot more. So if you want to follow me on there, I'm at Vicky Marmar. I try to do a little mini review or a little joke for like every movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I review them as I see them. It's my tagline, and I stick by that. Follow me at A24 Dad. It's fun just to go back and see, you know, you might've watched the movie one time and then somebody brings it up and you go and you search that movie and you write like a tagline underneath it. And you're like, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. So it's always something to refer back to. It's like a diary for your movies.
Yeah. So check us out on there. Stay connected on our Instagram, and you never know, once this episode comes out, it might, you know, spark the interest once again, and we could do some more episodes maybe during the summer once some more stuff comes out, so we could talk about that.
Yeah, definitely follow Instagram, Take Me to Your Theater.
Awesome. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. We hope to catch you on the next one.
Thank you. See ya.
Patatutu muni muni. Patatutu muni muni.